Hello, my finest friends. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Here's a joke from my son. What did the bum say to the other bum? That's a bummer. You know, not for everyone. Look, thanks to everyone who's come to see the previews of Can I Have My Ball Back? It's been going really, really well, and I'm really pleased with how the show's turning out. It's officially on tour now from Wednesday. I'll be at the Leicester Square Theatre. A couple of tickets left. Lots of press coming to that one. It'd be lovely to sell out, but there are a few other London gigs not selling as well. So if you're going to come to London, maybe look up those other London gigs. And then this week I'll be in St Albans on Thursday, Gloucester on Friday, Chorley on Saturday, which is sold out, but you can join the waiting list, and Glasgow on Sunday. Two shows. I think the earlier show is sold out. Check with the venue, but the later show has some availability. Come along if you can. If you enjoy these podcasts and like them being free, then the great way to pay me back is to buy a ticket to a show or buy a download or a book from gofasterstripe.com. But you can just keep listening for free as well. That pays me back also. So, you know, no pressure. But I'd love to see you there. If you just know me from the podcast and don't know me as a stand-up, I'm pretty good as a stand-up. It's a good show. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's only made about seven men faint so far. So, you know, are you brave enough to take the challenge? Let's sit back, relax, and enjoy whichever podcast you're listening to now.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, welcome to a very special Christmas Day episode of Rahulastapa. It's a big surprise for you all, in which I am joined by a comedian from the Ukraine. I mean, he's probably best known to you as a participant in the Bright Project, the Andy Kaufman Show. That's where you know him from. Will you please welcome Vasyl Bayduk, ladies and gentlemen. Here he is.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All the way in the whereabouts in the Ukraine are you, Vasyl?
In Ukraine, what?
Which city or town are you in?
Oh, now I'm in the west. Now I'm near Ivano-Frankivsk because I have a tour now, a stand-up tour, and I have 1 free day. And now I'm with my parents because they say, I don't know, do something with their health. They go to the bath and to some different showers. And I have 1 free day, so I come here, and now I am in Kvasy, maybe.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry about my English. Sometimes it will be not very good.
I thought about doing the interview in Ukrainian, and then I thought maybe it's best to do it in English overall.
Yeah, yeah. I think that your Ukrainian is worse than my English. So
I think it's definitely non-existent. I'm not even sure Ukrainian is a language. That's how bad I am. So there we go. Which clearly it is. I do know that much. Tell us about tell us. There's so much to talk to you about, and I know you've been wanting to come on the podcast for a while. And in fact, Stephen Fry to. I don't know if you got him to, but he emailed me and said, you've got to have this guy on your podcast. He's so keen to be on the podcast. So tell us, obviously, most of my listeners are not in Ukraine and may not be aware of you as a huge comedian in that country. Can you tell us a little bit about your life pre-war and your career and who you are?
Yeah, I am a stand-up comedian in Ukraine. It's very funny that Stephen Fry asked you to make a podcast, and just imagine if it's just prank of him because I'm very boring guy and very stupid and yes, I very comedian. So for 10 years, I think that maybe 10 years, 10, 11 years for in stand-up and in comedy, maybe 14 years. It's some, I don't know, some kind of absurd humor, but now it's more similar to not absurd because our life is absurd now. So for me, it's very hard to be in absurd in comedy now in this time because war. It's you know, it's that time when you want to be closer to audience, and absurd is one step plus to the audience. So then you want to be closer. So it's comedy. I forget this word in English.
Surreal, is it? So you were doing sort of surreal and absurd comedy, but you're doing more sort of satirical stuff, I guess.
More realistic. No, more realistic. Realistic. It's some stories. It's more stories about my life because it's similar to audience. They feel that I feel, and so it's easier to live with this comedy. So for example, it's some kinds about explosions, about some different air alarms, and about the war, about the enemy. So we feel better with this comedy. But now it's sometimes a little, I don't know, some few absurd in jokes because it's 2 years big Russian invasion, so we know how to live, and absurd it's some kind of flower what now growing up because we feel better. I don't know, it's very hard to understand, but we feel better in because 2 years, I don't know, some kind of this.
Yeah, I guess, you know, looking from the outside, I mean, it's sort of interesting because obviously, like the Israel-Palestine war has sort of moved Ukraine a little bit into the background of people's minds in the West, I think, which is sort of weird and interesting. It's sort of hard, I guess, for someone who's lucky enough never to have been in a war zone to sort of imagine that life and comedy continues amongst the stuff we're seeing is the bombings and, you know, abandoned tanks and destroyed buildings. And it's sort of amazing to think that comedy's going on. But of course, you know, this is where you need comedy more than ever, I guess, at a time like this. And our audiences, they're coming out to theatres. And as you know, like you say, the opening to your special in the UK, there would be, please turn off your mobile phones in your special. It's if the alarm goes off during the show, go to the air raid shelters and then come back and the show will continue. So it's a very different situation. And obviously people must be scared to be out a little bit, but they still do come out for comedy, right?
Yeah, this, and comedy was the first what was on stage after the big Russian invasion had started. It was for not songs, not some kind of I don't know, this some magic things. No, comedy was the first who was on the stage because what we need just mic and audience and ears to listen and jokes, and that's why comedy was the first after the big Russian. I think two months, and comedy was on the stage, and it was very interesting and different kind of jokes, because in the beginning of Russian invasion, it was jokes about our enemies, that they are stupid, that they are, don't be scared, they big ass on legs, and that's enough. They have no guns, everything will be okay. And it was some kind of jokes to make people, it's hope jokes, I don't know. So don't be scared, everything be fine. Yeah. But now, after 1 year, these jokes go away because our enemy is very strong and very powerful, and a lot of guns, a lot of people. So in this case, now comedy on that place where we telling reality that our enemy is strong, so we must do everything what we can do to stop it. So it's very interesting. And you know, in the beginning of Russian invasion, your special mustache of Hitler, it's one of the best thing what must be in this time, because because it shows that you must not be scared about the enemy. You must to laugh. Laughing for this. It's some kind of dictator, Putin, and sure. We must not scare because he won't that we scare him. You understand? Sorry about the English.
I do. Listen, you don't have to apologize. You're very clear and it's very fantastic. And yeah, you know, I think...
I have no time for learning English. Sorry, I try to survive. Yeah, sorry.
I'm very disappointed in you for spending time trying to help people in the Ukraine and not learn English better than this.
I have no topic war in the school. Yeah, I have topic about the ships, about the trees. About some kind of different garden and trees, about the pear trees, but I had no topic war, so sorry. Yes.
But, you know, I think it's, the point is, I think that, you know, yeah, that someone like Putin doesn't like laughter, doesn't like people laughing at him, and that's the case with dictators. But, you know, we obviously every country has been through war, and in the UK we were bombed during the Second World War, and I think that, you know, what's typically said is the humor is what got everyone through it. So it's really, I mean, it's horrific and it's it's terrible, but it's fascinating to see that comedy flourishes and survives within that situation. And of course, within your country, your president is a former stand-up comedian as well. So I assume your family are disappointed in you for only being a stand-up and not leading the country as well. But so it's you know it's an interesting situation that comedy plays such a part, that comedians have to be serious as well, that as well as you're doing your entertaining shows and you're doing shows to raise money for troops and you're doing a lot of work. There's a fantastic documentary The Guardian have done about you and some of the people you're working with, where you have been doing a project to clear the bombed areas and you've built a home for a woman who recognized you. You sort of decided to help her specifically and rebuild her house that she was sort of trapped in with Russians who are now thankfully gone. But I mean, that's an amazing thing. I mean, what I love about that documentary is such a beautiful thing about the human spirit, to see that that people get together in a situation like that to help each other. But equally, because it's so small, what is one house in this?
Yeah, it's just one house.
So it sort of also brings home how much work there is to be done, but that's the only way to progress is to do one house at a time. So do you want to tell us a little bit about how this came about?
Now I think that maybe it's not just a house. It's just a very big hope that everything will be fine and we can rebuild, not just only house. House is just like a metaphor. I forget this word. Metaphor. Metaphor, you know. Okay.
That's metaphor. That's good.
It's good.
House
yeah.
is just metaphor. That's what I think.
Because house, it's like our lives and our hopes. So and we with our hands. And you very need you very need to do something when a big war is there and people are dying every hour. Your people die and you must to do something. And I think that we rebuild this house because we want to do something with our hands, not with just talk on a comedy stage. We just need to take some stone and put it stone and with hands to rebuild this. Yeah. And I think that after the war, we have a lot of foreigners. They rebuild houses now because it's very interesting. It's very powerful thing. Now we rebuild this house. They live in this house. It's not very big. It's little, but she live there, Irina, with her husband, and that's good. We come there for a few days for some vacation, and I don't know. It's. And I think sometimes we have no emotions because now I think that, shit, this one big house and we do it because we fundraise money, we rebuild it. But when we did this thing, we just, okay, all right. We have no, I don't know, because when the big invasion was started, I rebuilt some four wall with reality, because pain was everywhere. So I just close my heart and my mind and don't put it emotions to inside. So I think that's why we rebuilt house, but we just, yes, we rebuilt house. Let's go on next point. So I don't, but sorry, my mind was going.
It's good, man. It's good. It's good. It's good.
No time for emotions. Like,
yes, of course. But you know, it's, you know, to go from, you know, being a successful comedian, this lady recognized you from your TV specials. And then it's like, for us, it's like Jimmy Carr turning up and suddenly building a house for us. I suppose war, as you say, you know, that you dealt in the absurd and you dealt in surreal stuff. And then war is so beyond, you know, it's so absurd. It's, you know, people being blown up and killed is a horrifying but ridiculous thing that people are killing each other. But all the things that come about, and I saw you do a bit about how the Russians are stealing kettles from people's houses, but not understanding that they need to take the bottom part of the kettle as well.
Yeah, that's kind of jokes what was on the start of invasion, because it's true. They go to they saw some different kinds for Wi-Fi and they don't know what is this, what is the router. They say it's internet. They told, okay, we take it. So they just take router and because they think that it will be internet. So yeah, it was jokes for the start of invasion, true jokes about reality. But now there are a lot of professionals and so, you know, it's for our military, because when you just tell jokes about that, how Russia are stupid. So in this case, it's look like our military, they just must not do nothing. They just must to put some sticks, and Russians are put on these sticks, and it's enough because they are stupid, but they are not stupid. So that's why these jokes are changed this point for the Russians are not stupid, they are professionals, so we need to be strong. So I know you understand this thing.
Yeah, we do. I understand. And you know, and what's been remarkable through all of this though is the way that, I mean, this invasion has just strengthened the spirit in Ukraine and the Ukrainian and the feeling of belonging to Ukraine more than anything else could have done, right? It seems the Ukrainian people are very united against this invasion more than they were, you know, more than they ever were. So it's, you know, it just proves how, you know, what they, I mean, it's incredible that the Russians didn't just overrun the country in the first few days as they obviously thought they would, and that's the strength of the country. But it's, you know, it's so remarkable to see it through your eyes and to see it through your experience, you know. And obviously as a comedian, and I think comedians, we have an affinity with each other wherever we are. We kind of recognize one another. And so it's very moving for me to see you do it, to imagine what I would do in the circumstances. I mean, it feels like you've done incredible things. I don't know whether I would be doing incredible things like you are, but it's the positives, I suppose, I'm trying to say, that are coming out of this. Don't make up for the negatives, but are amazing.
But you did. It's true. It's true. I don't. It's not a joke. It's not. Yeah, your special is help us. For me, help my wife, because we love this special, and it shows us how we need to do, how we need to understand these things. Yeah, that's true. You did. You support us with your comedy.
It's
an amazing thing. It's some kind of romantic from some kind of fucking book. Oh, you help us with comedy. But it's true.
But it's nice that comedy can do that. I mean, I do want to tell everyone that obviously I am huge in Ukraine. Once, you know, I could be touring there all the time. I'm absolutely massive. It's not just this one guy who's heard of me. I'm massive over there. So it's
all... After the war, you can come and rebuild house with us.
I'll come and do that for sure. Tell us about you also. I mean, I've seen you on another podcast saying Stuart Lee is your favourite comedian, which I'm very upset about. But you've managed to turn some Stuart Lee tickets into a car, which I don't know if Stuart knows about this, but this is a remarkable story.
Yeah, this very. I have one big story about this because it's very fun. So yeah, but Richard, you are one of my favorite comedians too. So no,
that's good. That's fine.
Stuart Lee, no. you, Richard, oh, the fucking amazing. So yeah, I really love you and Stuart.
That's good.
It was, I think, second month of Big Russian Invasion, and someone wrote me in Instagram, "Hello, Vasil, we have two tickets to the special of Stuart Lee. Maybe you want to come." And I say, "You watch news? I'm here. I'm now here in Ukraine, and I try to stay alive. So no Stuart Lee now in my life." And they told, "Maybe you can take these tickets and to present to someone that maybe your refugees from Ukraine in London now, they can go there and to have some fun." I say, "Right, great." I do it. And I take these tickets, and then I saw that maybe it will be a wonderful story because maybe you don't know, in military, cars need every minute because by car you take your guns, you go to closer to this front line, and cars very explosion every hour one car is broken, so cars need every time in military. And I think that maybe it will be very great story if I take these tickets and I change these tickets to some different kinds, and then some, and then will be car in a finish. So tickets to Stuart Lee make car for the military. Great story. And I in Instagram, I tell these things that maybe, you know, when some girl from Alabama changed her pen on a house, I want to do it with tickets to Stuart Lee and a car for our military. And I saw that maybe it will be 2 months, maybe, when I change something different. But one of the first comments was okay, I take tickets and I give you a car. It was first. And I say, no, I want great game for a long time. No. But yeah, one guy told that he can take these tickets and he give me a car because he have a car. It's not very good, but it's but if we repair a little bit, so it will be good for the military. And I say, all right. So that's good. And I give him these tickets, and her girl was abroad in London. So she go there to Stuart Lee. And I take this car, and I think that because I read some different news about all comedians, because for me, this was very important to have supporting from all things what I love. So I check what you say, what Stuart Lou say, what everyone say. And, you know, not so much comedians support us. So, yeah, but it's not that second story. But I saw Stuart Lee in Guardians, maybe.
The Observer, probably.
Yeah. Let's support Ukraine, give him some places, and unite, and UK must need some places, to give some places for Ukraine. And so I said, well, that's great. But I don't see for the military, that you, Stuart Lee, do for our military something. And I think it will be a great story when Stuart Lee give a car for the military, for Ukrainian military. And I take the photos of Stuart Lee and put it on the car and wrote from Stuart Lee with love. Yeah. And I just imagine, so Russians look at some these places and they saw the face of Stuart Lee. And here was right from love with Stuart Lee. Yeah, and this story, I wrote this story to the manager of Stuart Lee because he don't love the social media, but he have email. So I wrote there, the manager wrote me that it's a great story. So we tell Stuart Lee about this, and if you'll be in London, you can just write us, and you can go to some stand up. And I say that is great. And this year I was in London for the charity tour. We fundraise money for the military, And I wrote to the manager of Stuart Lee, I wrote that I'm here in London. And they say, oh, sorry, there are no places. And I say, no, we can stand. We can stand and we can lie on the ground. So please, because for me, this, wow. And she wrote, okay, we will do something. And they present us two tickets to the Stuart Lee. And I was on the special of Stuart Lee. It was great. Some stories, some forms was similar, but it's okay. And after the show, I really want to go to the Stuart Lee and to tell him thank you very much for this car, to show him photos. And I think that he maybe saw that I'm some kind of maniac because I don't know. It's after the show. I stand. It was near this stage where they were. I just stand and I just waiting with my wife. And one photographer came after the show and I ask, is Stuart Lee here? And he say, no, they go away. And I say, okay. But I say, I know you, photographer. You lie on me. And yes, I imagine that I go, but then I come back and Stuart Lee came from the stage. And I say, hello, Stuart Lee. And he say, oh, hello. I told him maybe I have some photo. And he say, yes, of course. And then I tell him, I am that guy from Ukraine who changed your tickets to the car. And he say, oh, no, I'm very busy. I go. I run away. I go. I will write you an email. And he ran. And I saw that Stuart Lee ran with his leg. I don't know. Maybe he...
He's a bad person.
Oh, very bad person. Yo,
he's the wrong person to you.
Richard, you're a great person. He, no.
he's a bad
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yeah, well, look, it's so fascinating, all of this, I have to say. But and people can, there is one of your specials up with English subtitles if people do want to look out for you. So if they Google your name, it will come up. So people can watch a special. It's obviously quite different. There's a lot of big subtitles, and a lot of it is very Ukraine specific. But I think you're not going to understand all of it. But again, as a performer, I find it. So you're a big name in the Ukraine. You're playing big theatres. There's big audiences there, and it's so interesting. Even when you don't look at the subtitles, to see another comedian performing, you know, and seeing how they work, and you know, sometimes you don't actually need the language.
Yeah.
Just to sort of enjoy the work. So it is worth looking out for. What was the Andy Kaufman show that I mentioned at the top? What was that? Because obviously your pre-war stuff was this absurd sort of surreal stuff, and Andy Kaufman is one of my comedy heroes. So what did you do regarding him?
I start in comedy because Andy Kaufman. I saw maybe 15 years ago, 12 years ago, Eddie Murphy, and it was my first stand-up special. And I saw it and I said, no, it's wonderful, great, but it's not very interesting for me. I have no some kind of comedy. It's not my type of comedy. So, and I decided stand-up, it's not my comedy, my type of comedy. And then I saw film Man on the Moon and Andy Kaufman, and then I find some specials in YouTube, some kind of different performing of Andy Kaufman, and I say, wow, this is stand-up comedy too. So yeah, wow, I love it. So when I start to do some different performing, I change my clothes on the stage, and I did some different kind of absurd stuff without jokes, and people laughing, and I say, wow, this is very wonderful. And Kaufman is great stand-up comedian in that case, that when you have evening with five comedians and you six comedians without jokes, it's a joke. So it's very easy way to people laughing without jokes and with just some kind of different absurd things. Yeah, and then I started to performing in this absurd genre, absurd type of comedy. And and then I just do special because in Ukraine, stand-up comedy, maybe 12 years, just 12 years stand-up comedy in Ukraine live. I don't know how I can say. Yeah, you understand. Just only 12, yeah. 12. Because in UK, it's
so stand-up comedy is only been, in the whole of the Ukraine, there's only been stand-up for 12 years, that was saying.
Yeah. 12 years. Just 12 years. 12 years ago, 12, it's 2 and 0, or it's 1 and 2?
1 and 2, well, 12.
1 and 2, okay, 12, yes, yeah. 12. 12 years ago was first stand-up evening in Ukraine, in Kyiv. Yeah. And no one knows Andy Kaufman, because they know some Jimmy Carr and Louis C.K. and some kind of classic stand-up comedians. And I very want that people in Ukraine must know who is Andy Kaufman. So I just take my person, and I have audience, and I name the name of my show. My first special was the show named of Andy Kaufman. Yeah. Because I saw that maybe people look at my comedy and say, who is Andy Kaufman? And the first 6 minutes in this special is about Andy Kaufman. I just tell about him, who was he, and it's very interesting because people after a few years come to me and say thank you very much because we know who is Andy Kaufman because we saw your show, and then we started to. So that's why Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, cool. Well, that's but again, that's so. I didn't realize that stand-up comedy hadn't been in the Ukraine until that recently. But it's. But I love the way that things overlap. You know, it seems crazy to me that you know me or Stuart. It seems great that you know, and Andy Kaufman is a great person to be influenced by. But again, as you say, not most, like most people would have seen Eddie Murphy, and rightly so, thought this is amazing, and or Richard Pryor, it would be that kind of thing. Yeah. And so for Andy Kaufman to be the influence is great. And I love that kind of cross-cultural thing. And I love the way comedy I suppose absurd, that sort of absurd, surreal comedy obviously works everywhere because, you know, that's a, when things are beyond real and then we can all kind of appreciate that to some extent. And so it crosses those boundaries that sometimes, you know, I would imagine, I would imagine in reverse, a lot of my stuff must be confusing to someone from the Ukraine, and a lot of your stuff, you go, okay, I don't know what that means, but I can see, I don't know who that guy is you're talking about. You do a great routine about going to see like the body as a at a school trip going to see some body of some guy who didn't want to be buried. Like it's like Lenin, is it? It's like a kind of corpse.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
That. So I don't know who that guy is, but I can still understand what's going on in the routine. So you know, I really love that, and I love that comedy can, you know, you can cross borders with it. Comedians have this affinity for each other, but they're also what you're doing in terms of, I mean, coming to the UK and doing this charity thing. So you met Stephen Fry doing these charity shows, is that right?
No. I met Stephen Fry because he was in Kyiv.
Okay.
He was on some summit. It was summit for the health, mental health of Ukrainians, of children. And he was one of the person who talking about this because he have some problems with his health. And now he's feel good. And he talking about this for this experience. Yeah, and I when I saw him, I said, "Whoa, this Stephen Fry! Wow, what a fucking great time! Thank you, war." But I, oh, because you know this is very very surrealistic thing. That sometimes you feel better, you feel this wow, this Stephen Fry, and then you think that maybe it's just because the war. So it's absurd things and some. It's very surrealistic things because sometimes you're happy for some things happened, but then you but it's because the war and it's just began to be sad. It's every time like this. So now this podcast with you, this for me this happy moment. But then I think this is because the war. If there are no war, I don't think that Stephen Fry wrote you, please take this interview with this guy. He's very, he have t-shirt, very fine t-shirt. Yes, the best t-shirt in all of the world. And Stephen Fry was there. I came to him and say, hello, it's me, Vasil Baidak. We have stand-up club and underground. You must come here. And one guy who was our friend of our stand-up club, he wrote, Stephen Fry here. I asked him to go to your stand-up club. And Stephen Fry, it's wonderful man because he's so powerful and he's so celebrity. And he just... he came to our stand-up club and he told some different stories, answered the questions, and he's very easy and person, very simple. He's not like celebrity, you know. He's hi, thank you very much, you are comedians, I am comedian, let's speak. He wrote you this email because he told me that if you go to UK, you must go to some different podcast, to the podcast of Stuart Lee, Richard Herring. I tell what Stuart Lee have no podcast, so Richard Herring. And I say, but I wrote Richard Herring. He have no times, have no dates, and he say, I will try to.
Well, I did want to. Unfortunately, when you came over, I was on tour, so I was in the West Country when you were.
Yeah, I know. I check all cities where you was.
We couldn't make it work because it was actually literally the busiest part of the tour, and so it was impossible. So I'd love to have done it face to face, but this is really special as well. I think it's you know, it's kind of what I love about. I mean, this is a repercussion of again something terrible, which was COVID, that you know that I hadn't really thought. Oh, I can talk to people in other countries. And so because of COVID, we now have the ability to do this. And it sort of is special to talk to you in situ. And, you know, it is, I guess, you know, I'm just trying to get an understanding which you're doing really well, I have to say, of you know, life going on, but you're in a war situation. People are dying. It's terrible. It's horrific. Wars are going on, and yet life is continuing, and comedy's continuing. And I think that's, you know, there's something so powerful about that. So as much as terrible things happen, and you know, we have to cope with those things, and you know, there will be positives that come out of these incredible negatives. And I think what your president's doing, what you're doing, is so powerful for comedy and for the world, you know. So it's you know, what can we? I mean, you know, it is because it's gone on a long time and there is a danger that the world forgets. Is there stuff that we can do, you know, in the rest of the world that will help you? Is there, you know, both in terms of reminding people, but also helping you raise funds and things for the stuff you're doing? Is there stuff we can help you with?
Yes, thank you. That's, we feel that the supporting is less and less, and but UK is supporting every time, and it's very great because it's very hard to understand it. But we need just not only guns and F-16 planes for defend our sky. It's very important things now because Russians have a lot of planes with big bombs, and they fly in these bombs and. A lot of guns, a lot of explosions. So yeah, we need this for defense, but we need supporting, just a little supporting to understand. Because when we saw that, we are with Ukraine, it's very important thing to do. Guns is very important things, but very important to supporting because, you know. This, you know what is comedy? Comedy is to find some different ways, to find some different things. You have one element and you must to look at from this side, from this. But war, it's that kind of thing that there is an element and there is just only one side in this. It's just war and it's bad. And Russian invade to Ukraine. So they are evil, they are enemy. And you just defend, we just defend. And so in this case, when someone supports us, it's very important to feel better and to do our to live better. I don't know, to make some hope that you don't live in a world that say it's okay, you feel bad, all right. And about the guns, about the weapons, not many people know that we have some Budapest Memorandum. Maybe you know it, maybe you heard about these things. It in, I think, 1997 or 96, Ukraine has a powerful nuclear weapon and every world feel bad with our nuclear weapon. So in this case, we decide... Our politics decide to take this nuclear weapon and to throw it from not in our country, and some big countries in the world, Russia, USA and UK and Ukraine, make some Budapest Memorandum that they are guaranteed. With Ukraine everything will be fine, and because we have no nuclear weapon, because maybe if we have nuclear weapon, Russia would not invade us. So that's why in this Budapest Memorandum, these different countries must to help us with some kind of weapon, because this memorandum is wrote here. So if something will bad, so they need to give us some weapon. So maybe many people don't understand these things and say, why we must to give the weapons? Because we just try to live, and because we have some document.
Okay. Yeah. That's, I didn't know about that. That's interesting. So, you know, this is going out on Christmas Day.
Christmas Day, and Santa Claus.
Let's bring everyone down. No, but it's, you know, to what extent are you going to get a Christmas? I mean, will you get to celebrate? How does something like that happen? You know, is that something that's put on hold in wartime situation, or have you got plans for Christmas, if Christmas is even a Ukrainian celebration?
Yeah, I think that we will eat some orange, maybe two, and, and then maybe watch Home Alone.
Yeah. So very similar. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. No, people celebrate, but yeah. Maybe I go to my family, maybe for one day. I don't know. I don't decide. You know, when it's war, you can't plan some.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's
But then you're on, you know, if you're doing it, I mean, it's sort of, again, you know, it sort of feels I mean, it feels surreal and absurd that you're gigging in a way. You're on a tour, so you've got to, you know, I get upset if a motorway gets closed on a tour. You've got to navigate all of this while you're trying to go from place to place. So is it when you're touring, is that quite a ad hoc? Is it quite, you know, just, oh, I'm here, so I'll do a gig? Or are you going, I've got to get to this place on this day to do a gig?
Yeah, I can tell you that. So now, what is now? I have a car by rent because I go with my wife and I take some different things for the auction. Because now stand up, it's some special time, and maybe one half of hour it's an auction to fundraise money for the military. So in my car now it's some kind of weapon. What is it's now is empty. So I have no with me now. I have no this, but no.
Don't worry.
It's in a car. So it will be. So I have very big weapon, for example, and it's painted with some different pictures. It's big tubes of javelin, maybe you know U.S. Weapon javelin to destroy tank. And this javelin, our military destroys some Russian tank, and they take this empty javelin, and we take it and paint some different pictures. And this empty weapon going from the auction, and in such a thing we fundraise some money for the military, and now in auction we sell some kind of pictures, for example, some comics with signature of Zaluzhny. It's our general, the main guy in the military, or some with signature of president, some flags, or I don't know, or t-shirt, or some fruits, everything what we can, because now it's very I don't know. Забувся, як може я українською і все, і на цьому. I said maybe in Ukrainian and let's do funny stuff.
It's good. Look, it's, you know, but it's really amazing what you're doing, and that you're, you know, that you're fundraising, and, you know, that using comedy in this way. I mean, I think it's easy for comedians can get very self-centered and very up themselves, and so it is great to see, you know, you using comedy A to make people laugh in a difficult time, but B to raise money for your country and for your army. It's so terrific. And as I say, really check out this. You'll easily find the. I'll put a link to the Guardian thing in the write up as well. But that's well worth seeing, and to the special. So there's lots of things people can look and see. But it's very inspiring, Basil. And, you know, I'm sorry. It's I'm sorry that you're in this situation. Obviously.
No, obviously. And you ask me about the roads because my mind is going everywhere.
Yeah.
Roads is now it's good roads in the west side, because we have had a tour in east side. It's closer to front line. So yeah, it's some kind of, it's not very similar to go there by car, because it's block post everywhere, and stop to check the documents. And if you're closer to front line, it's more danger because you understand, we have some kind of, all right, so how it works now in our country. So when we do some stand-up specials, now in tour, I take these big halls with shelters. Because if it's air alarm, because we have, maybe it's very funny thing for you, because we have some kind of apps in our telephone. Yeah, Christmas podcast.
It's good, make them suffer, make them.
Yeah, this is a map. This is a map of air alarms now.
Right.
So if you check now, it's air alarm in Crimea, in Luhansk, and I'm here in Ivano-Frankivsk district. Okay. Yeah, so now it's not red, so it's not danger now. But if it will be red, it means that some rocket fly in these directions. We don't know where exactly, but in this direction. So, and if our defense, air defense, show look and sees that some rocket fly to some district, they put the air alarm and we hear some kind of this voice. Sorry.
Attention.
No. Yeah. This kind of air alarm in our apps. So we have different apps because we have very powerful IT technology. So we have different apps, different colors. It's different colors of apps what tell you when you can die. And you can choose a voice. You can choose voice. Maybe in maybe you want in English.
Yeah.
Some guy tell you. And it's an actor from Star Wars. And he will tell you.
Attention. The air alert is over.
Right.
May the force be with you. Attention. The air alert is over. May the force be with you.
So, tell me, Richard. Comedy. Powerful scene. This is an actor from the Star Wars tell you that everything's fine. Be happy. Be the force with you.
But it's the only, you know, sometimes that's the only option. And it is sometimes laughing in the face of something so ridiculous and so horrific is literally the only option. So it's great.
Yeah, and if I want to sleep, I just take this thing and put it off. Okay, fly a rocket. I want to sleep. Not today. So... And if you hear air alarm, all audience go to the shelter, and we have some rules. If the air alarm will be more than half an hour, we stop this performing and we put it on the next day, for example. Or we can go to the shelter and in the shelter to continue our material, for example.
Yeah.
And if we are closer to the front line, for example, I had maybe 2 weeks ago in Zaporizhia, my stand-up, and it was in shelter, stand-up special, not in the hall with shelter. We was in shelter because we have Russian have some ballistic rockets what fly very faster, so we have no time to go to the shelter, and it can be explosion everywhere. So that in this case we must be there. And sometimes we have performing for the military. For example, we perform with stand-up comedian Anton Timoshenko and Nastya Zuhvala near the front line in blindage. I forget this. Trenches. In trenches. Yeah?
Okay.
Trenches. For the military. You
okay.
understand?
Trenches, yeah.
Trenches, yes.
Yeah, in trenches, yeah.
In trenches in the night.
Right.
So, wow, that was... in this time when it was, I understand this powerful thing of comedy, because when the military, our soldiers, laughing about these jokes, and they just, it was few hours after, for example, they came from the front line where it was hard battles, and they lost, for example, their friends, and now they hear it's maybe one day after this battle, and they now listen to the comedy and they laugh a little bit. Yeah, you feel powerful of comedy in these times.
Yeah.
And powerful of comedy, I understand when we had performing, maybe you saw it in Guardian, maybe it is some moments when this occupied village of Russians and they destroy houses and they kill some people in this village. And after 2 weeks after this, I do stand up on a street near the broken theater, and this audience who live in this village, who was in occupation, it was very hard occupation because it was in village Yahidne, and for 35 days people live in shelter under the school. Russians was in school and people was under the school in shelter for 35 days, and this shelter is for 30 people, but there was 120 people in this shelter. So there are no air and people die in this shelter. One girl born in this shelter because they can't go away. They just Russians put there. And after 2 weeks, after this horrible, terrible things, they sat on a box, empty box of weapons on the street, and I do it a comedy, and they laughing very hard. And I saw that there, because they sit, and I saw that in the back, their houses, what was destroying destroying building, some just maybe one wall, and they sit on these empty boxes, and they listen to the jokes, and they laughing. And I can tell it's that kind of laugh that I want to have and to live here for all my time. Because when I will be sad and I can take this laugh and to listen it in my mind and to understand that comedy is a very powerful thing. Because Wow, it's amazing.
Yeah, well, it really is. Thank you for sharing this so eloquently and brilliantly, Vasil. It's very moving stuff, and it's it's extraordinary. And you're a very extraordinary man. I wish you all the luck. I hope that that this war will be over very soon. It doesn't look like it will be, but I hope it will be. And but what you're doing is extraordinary. And thank you so much for sharing these stories with us, because I think it's important that people do remember what's going on. But
and thank you for supporting. Thank you. Important.
It's been really a real honor and pleasure to talk to you. Vasil Bayduk, ladies and gentlemen, please give it up. I didn't even ask him if he tried to suck his own cock. That's how respectful I am.
And give applause to Richard Curran. And Richard, maybe you don't know, but you was the first comedian in all of the world who support me and us, because I asked you in Instagram to you remember these things. You understand that it's me.
Yeah.
I had some kind of sketch in English for translate. It was first months of invasion, and it my personage in Instagram in sketches where I was without t-shirt in shelter, and I asked you to repost to show your audience that we in problem, we have a problem, help us please. And you take this video and put it in your Instagram and you post, you're not just only in stories, you do a post. And for me, this was very important. I was just, wow, saying, stand-up comedy have a heart and they support us. So yeah, thank you very much. That was very important in that time.
All right. Well, look, really, best of luck with everything and stay safe and keep on doing what you're doing.
And it's a Christmas podcast.
Yes, it's a Christmas podcast.
So maybe we can do jingle bells for everyone, because I have this harmonica. Do you?
Can let's sing? Do it.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, go.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Oh, it was very bad. Let's continue.
This is to ride on a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells. I'm laughing and crying at the same time. So that's got to be. That's what all my Christmases are like, to be fair.
I ask our IT technology to make this voice for when rocket will fly, they will hear this.
Okay.
This jingle.
That would be very good. Thank you, Vasil. Good luck. Thank you very much. We'll see you. We'll be back soon with some more, but thank you very much for that. You have been listening to Rahalastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Vasil Bayduk. Thanks to Scant Regard, as always, for this beautiful music. Could have put some sleigh bells on it, guys. Just one guy, actually, Scant Regard, so that it would sound more Christmassy. Come on, dude. Thank you also, I'm indebted to, of course, Chris Evans, not that one, and Stephen Fry in this instance for facilitating this meeting. Thanks to everyone who's helped us all through the year, all the theatres, Ben Evans for all the terrific clips he's put together for us,
Kathleen McKeegan for her sterling work on Rollisper.com, Ben Walker, of course, who I could not live without, all the crew who film and record the shows, including, of course, George, the incompetent sound man. He's my favourite. And for you for listening, please do keep spreading the word, both about the podcast and about the Ukrainian conflict. This is a Sky Potato Buzz and GoBossAstripe.com production.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thanks again for listening to the podcast. richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs for all of the information on the tour. GoFasterStripe.com for lots of downloads and books and lots of fun. Thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your friends about the tour. I love you all. I'm out.